question or comment? Need savvy travel advice? Connect with Rudy, Robert, and Mary anytime on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at RM World Travel. Now, back to RM World Travel.
Welcome back. This portion of the program is sponsored by ButcherBox.com/RM. We're loving what this sponsor offers everyone, and that's because when it comes to meat, quality matters. Putting the best into our bodies means we get the best out of our bodies. And it's why we've made the switch to ButcherBox.com/RM, because it ships free right to your door every 30 or 60 days, and their meat is guaranteed to be the humanely raised kind of meat with no antibiotics or hormones ever. The beef is grass-fed and grass-finished. The chicken's organic and free-range. And their heritage pork is far from the other white meat. That's because they source their pork from pigs raised to keep all their fat and flavor, the way pork is supposed to be. Listen, folks, with cuts and quality you won't find in stores, it's affordable. You can get a month's worth of delicious meats for less than $6 a meal. Think about that. Experience the difference for yourself, and you'll be so happy you did. Visit ButcherBox.com/RM and get $20 off any order, plus a pound of free nitrate-free bacon in your first box. Free. And free in every future order you make. And shipping's always free as well. That's ButcherBox.com/RM, or you can find the link at RMWorldTravel.com. There are several iconic hotels in London, but at the top of the heap is the venerable Savoy Hotel. The hotel opened in 1889, and it featured modern conveniences that wowed the world. And the two men behind it are legendary hotel and culinary names, César Ritz, a Swiss hotelier, and Escoffier, the French chef who updated French cooking way back when. Together, they turned the Savoy into the social center of London, and it endures today. For our Right Stuff segment, I'm joined by Luke Barr. He's a former features editor at Travel and Leisure magazine, and he took on the heavy assignment of writing a book about the founding of the Savoy and its place in the pantheon of legendary hotels. Luke, nice to have you on the show. Welcome back, or welcome to the show for the first time, actually.
Yes, thank you for having me.
And I should give the title of your book. It is called Ritz and Escoffier, subtitled The Hotelier, the Chef, and the Rise of the Leisure Class. Now, I'm obviously Ritz and Escoffier are the focus, and I certainly introduced the book that way. But there was a money man behind them who brought these two guys together with their very different personalities. You want to tell us a bit about, and then you can pronounce his name for me, Richard, how do you pronounce it?
Yes, Richard D'Oyly Carte. Exactly. Richard D'Oyly Carte was a theater producer who produced the Gilbert and Sullivan comic operas to great success in the mid-late 19th century, and he opened the Savoy Theater in London 10 years before he opened the hotel, so in somewhere around 1880. And he realized that, you know, it would be a good idea to also have a hotel next door, so people coming to the theater would have a place to go to dinner and to spend the night if they were coming from out of town. And his real inspiration, though, was, you know, he'd been traveling in the United States quite a bit because the Gilbert and Sullivan operas went on tour. And when he was in the States, he was struck by the fact that some of the hotels that he was staying at in San Francisco, in Chicago, in New York, et cetera, in the 1880s, they had electricity. They had elevators. They had bathrooms. All things that were hard to overstate how modern those things were at the time. But in Europe and in London, there was no hotel that had an elevator or electricity or bathrooms in every room, for example. So he had the idea, I'm going to build this technological marvel, and he was going to call it the Savoy Hotel. And he did that. And then he realized he needed some people to, so he built the hotel that had all these technological advances in it. But he needed someone to run the hotel, and he decided he wanted that person to be César Ritz. And so he pursued Ritz, to come and work for him. And that's sort of where my book begins.
Just a footnote, you mentioned the theater. There still is a theater adjacent to the Savoy. Is that the original one?
Yes, that is the original.
Oh, yes. My goodness. Okay. All right. So describe these, as my father would say, these guys were a couple of characters, Ritz and Escoffier, aren't they? Describe
absolutely.
The two of them.
I have to say, from the point of, you know, when I was writing about this, that's what struck me the most, was just what modern, interesting characters these guys were. I'm talking about Ritz and Escoffier.
Right.
Ritz was, you know, came up as a waiter. He was a working class guy. He came from a family of 12 or something in the Swiss Alps and was, you know, herding goats and cows and so forth. And he decided, you know, he went off and became a waiter and eventually a maitre d', and then he became, he had a whole career coming up as a hotelier, as a hotel manager. And Escoffier, meanwhile, was the son of a blacksmith in southern France, you know, and also came up working in restaurant kitchens and eventually, you know, as a chef. So they were working class guys, and that's what struck me, what I found most interesting about the story, or one of the many things, was why was it that it was these guys were the ones to kind of invent the modern idea of luxury? It was,
and they had totally different personalities, didn't they?
Yes, absolutely. Ritz was the sort of high-strung, outgoing, high-energy hotel manager who never forgot anyone's name or face, and would also remember, you know, oh, that you liked this brand of scotch, and you preferred this kind of pillow. All things that in modern hotel keeping still to this day does, keeping track of all their clients' preferences and so forth. Whereas Escoffier was more cerebral and scholarly, and or that was the his image. He was quiet. He, you know, he came up in kitchens that were raucous and where everyone was yelling and shouting, and the kitchen was full of smoke, and everyone was drinking beer. And he instituted a new kind of kitchen organization, and he wanted calm and quiet in the kitchen. So these are the two sort of personalities of these two men. Yes.
My guest is author of a new book. He is Luc Barr, B-A-R-R. His book is titled Ritz and Escoffier, subtitled The Hotelier, the Chef, and the Rise of the Leisure Class, about the legendary Savoy Hotel in London. Now, Luc, you note that the hotel's sort of open-door policy, as long as you were dressed very well, had a big effect on London society. The subtitle of your book reads, the other subtitle is The Rise of the Leisure Class. Can you describe what kind of glacial or seismic shift maybe happened as a result of the Savoy in London and the UK?
That's one of the, exactly right. It's I don't think that the Savoy caused the seismic shift, but I think it caught it at the right moment. There was before the Savoy, you know, one entertained at home. You had a private chef. The men went off to their private clubs and ate dinner with, you know, other men. Women rarely went out in public with their husbands out to dinner. Restaurants were sort of not considered a place that you would go as a respectable woman, for example, in the 1880s in London. The Savoy, was the first time that you had a quasi-public space where everyone was welcome, including gauche American industrialists and opera singers from Australia, and Oscar Wilde and the other sort of bohemian writer types in London, as well as and right alongside the aristocracy and the very wealthy. So you had this kind of mix of different classes and cultures all in one place. And once again, that strikes me as a remarkably modern feeling. You know, even to this day, if you walk into a certain kind of restaurant and you look around and you see who else is there, and there's a kind of this feeling of to see and be seen. That was what they had truly invented at the Savoy, in the dining room at the Savoy in the 1890s. And that had never happened before.
They also made Sunday
kind of
an acceptable
cosmopolitan mixture. Sorry.
They also made Sunday an acceptable night to dine out, didn't they?
Yes, exactly. And they changed the laws. You know, there were all kinds of draconian laws about when restaurants could be open or not. And Ritz and his well-connected, backers and Doyley Cart as well, successfully were able to change the law, and they turned Sunday night into the sort of premier pre- and post-opera dinner spot in London, was at the Savoy. They made that the sort of centerpiece of the social scene in London.
In about the 50 seconds we have left, can you describe their downfall of Ritz and Escoffier 10 years after the hotel opened?
Right. I mean, you mentioned that this is all about the Savoy, but it's also, my book is also about the Ritz in Paris. So the Ritz and Escoffier are scheming to launch their own hotel. Remember, they were hired by Doyley Cart as employees.
Right.
But they turned it into such a great success that they started acting a little bit too much like they owned the place. And that's what got them into trouble. So they were courting investors and giving free wine and dinners to their potential investors in their new project, which is going to be the Ritz Hotel in Paris. And once D'Oyly Carte sort of discovered all this, and there's much more to this scandal, which is all in the book, he threw them out. And so they went off and the following year opened the Ritz in Paris.
I love these hotel stories. They're always such interesting characters. Luke, I really appreciate you writing the book, and I appreciate you taking time out of your weekend to talk with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Luke Barr is a former features editor, Travel and Leisure. His new book, published by Clarkson Potter, is called Ritz and Escoffier, The Hotelier, the Chef, and the Rise of the Leisure Class. A great read. I'd heartily recommend it. We'll be right back after this break.
Today's edition of RM World Travel is coming right back. And you can also stay connected with the program at rmworldtravel.com.